The reading that we had just now, and just to avoid any confusion, when Norma said Keith was going to do the reading, I wasn't. It's a problem we've got two Keiths, and it can be get a bit complicated. Anyway, just as we prepare to hear what God wants to say to us, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, so freely available to us. And thank you that you can speak to us through it. So we pray over these next few minutes that you'll speak to each one here, that you'll refresh us, you'll encourage us, and you'll lead us a little bit closer to knowing and loving you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I was given for today is Serve One Another, and it is based on the passage that was read to us. I wonder what you think about when we talk about serving one another. What immediately comes to mind? Perhaps for some of you it's serving a good old cup of tea or coffee after the service or somewhere. And I thought, for the sake of equality, I ought to show this one, because there are some men serving the coffee and tea. That's one form of service that we can all get involved with. But for other people, they would think of serving others in a totally different way. Our people who are in the army, for example, air force, police force, people who serve us through those areas, they're all serving one another. And in this passage that we read today, it starts off with a word to the leaders. It reminds us that the writer was a leader himself, or an elder, which is the phrase some people use. And he was appealing at this point to the church leaders or elders. But if you're not an elder, little message for you. You are not permitted to do this. Okay? No sleeping during the service. That is a definite no-no. And he carries on with his word for leaders to appeal to people, basically, to provide care, to support others, to be a shepherd of the flock, as the illustration goes. And it encourages also to do it willingly, not grudgingly. And I guess probably most of us at some times have thought, well, I suppose I'd better do some caring for that person. You know, sometimes we might think in that direction. But the encouragement here is that we should lead, we should encourage, and we should care willingly. Do your work not for mere pay. Now, I think a lot of people would probably rather write there for more pay, not for more pay. But do your work out of service rather than out of reward. That's the point it's making. It's not what we get out of it. It's what we can give. And that's something every one of us can do. We can all serve other people in some way. I couldn't help attaching that verse to being a non-stipendiary minister. You don't get a penny for it. But you do it because you care for the work of the gospel. You care about sharing the message with other people, and hopefully teaching others something fresh about Jesus. But for every single one of us, with no exceptions at all, we should be in the volunteer ministry of some sort. We should all be caring for others. It doesn't matter if we're ordained or not, that makes no difference. It doesn't matter what age we are, where we come from. Everyone can involved in some sort of volunteer ministry within the church. And I know recently you've had a little questionnaire coming round encouraging people, what can you do? Well, here's a scriptural emphasis for it, that we are to care for one another. But there is a risk when you get in a position of some authority, I guess. I hope this isn't me, but there's a little bit of a risk that we can become like a little dictator, can't we? We dwell on the authority that we've got. But that is not what we're talking about today. It says instead, but be examples to the flock. What sort of example are you? What sort of example am I? Perhaps you better not answer that one. But every one of us can be an example, a role model, a good witness to someone. And it may be quite simply in our role as parents, a role model for our children. But it could be in any other format at all. We're encouraged, not just the leaders, I don't think, but everyone of us should be a good, solid role model. And the passage continues, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the glorious crown which will never use its brightness. Well, I looked up on Google some images of a crown, a glorious crown, and this is what first came up. It is a glorious crown, but sadly that one will use its brightness. But one thing we know about precious metals, about gold, is that that doesn't lose its brightness. It's permanent. And that's the picture being given to us, that we should always, always be there, shining out for the Lord. I know the children and young people are out at the moment, but there is a message in this chapter for them as well. In the same way, you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. That gives a lot of opportunity, doesn't it? My devious mind, of course, as always, thought, obey. But of course, that's not what it means at all. That young people should respect the elders, and they should pray for them, work for them, live for them, but more than anything, to encourage. And all of you must put on the apron of humility to serve one another. I've not brought an apron with me, so the next best thing, I can't really see myself wearing a pink apron, but who knows? Put on the apron of humility. Well, what does that mean exactly? Where does the apron fit in? Well, I think aprons do a couple of things, but the main one is to protect what's underneath them, isn't it? You put on an apron so you don't spill your soup down your shirt or whatever. So what it's saying there is put on some protection to hold on to humility. Just protect that aspect. For the scripture says, God resists the proud but shows favour to the humble. Do you recognise him anywhere? Anyone feel they're so full of importance that, you know, they are the bee's knees, they are it? Well, sometimes there is a risk. If we become successful in any area, there can be a risk of that, can't there? So that's why there is this warning. But instead, show favour to the humble. That word keeps coming up in this passage. Humility. It's probably not something which many people feel is a very positive attribute these days, where in the world generally it's everyone for themselves. Humility is not probably very popular. But you may remember in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus was up on that hill talking to thousands of people. on the Sermon on the Mount. And what he said as one of the things in that sermon was this: happy are the humble, for they will receive what God has promised. That's important, isn't it? We all want to receive, I'm sure, what God has promised for us. But we're not going to get it by boasting about it. We're not going to get it by being proud. We're going to get it by humbly accepting that what God wants for us is the best. It is the right thing. So it says, humble yourselves. Then, as a result, under God's mighty hand, so he will lift you up in his own good time. So, if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. It's no question, there's no mights about it, there's no questions, although his timing isn't always what we want. We know that. But he will lift us up if we're prepared to be humble enough to receive him. Let's enlarge that slightly. Humility. It's a bit of a strange thing, isn't it? The minute you think you've got it, you've lost it. And there is a sense in that, isn't there? I'm sure you all remember the Dickens character who was ever so humble, so he was, ever so humble, and he told everyone. That wasn't quite what humble was all about, was it? But we are asked to be humble. So, why should we serve one another in humility? Well, that going back to that first verse that we read, the writer was saying, I am a witness to Christ, of Christ's suffering, and I will share in the glory that will be revealed. So you're working towards something that will be revealed. He knew at the time he was not experienced perhaps everything that he wanted to, but he knew, he trusted that promise of God that everything will be revealed to those who serve, to those who are humble. Do you sometimes feel like one of those people? Are you worried? Sometimes. I'm sure most people are at times. Well, this passage had a word for you. And if that fits you today, take it on board. What you need to do is to go to the foot of the cross, to take your worries to Jesus. You may want to do it just in your mind. You may even feel it appropriate to, perhaps during the communion, just say a quick prayer to yourself as you come to the cross for the service, and just say, Lord, I'm worried about this and that, and just put it in his hands, because that is where we can resolve the worries of our own and of other people. It's about caring for one another. And that phrase includes caring for yourself. Now, sometimes we might even forget that. When we say about caring for other people, for one another, we're always going outwards. But there are times when we need that care for ourselves. We need to stop and think, what is going on in our lives, and do we need to get things sorted? So I believe the message for each one of us here, as I said, whether we're leaders or not, the message that's put through this passage is that each one of us has a duty, a responsibility, and I would add a privilege of being able to care for one another. And that's something we can all put into practice during this week. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much that you've reminded us in this passage to care for one another. And that also means that we're going to receive care from one another. So help us as a fellowship to put that into practice wherever we are this week and beyond, whoever we're with and whatever we're doing, that we may be honouring to what you have asked of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.